Good morning, afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the OceanaGold 2016 year-end result webcast and conference call. At this time, note that all lines are in a listen-only mode. Following the presentation, we will conduct a question-and-answer session. If at any time during this call you require immediate assistance, please press star zero for the operator. Note that this call is being recorded on February 23rd, 4:30 p.m. Eastern Time. I would like to turn the conference over to Darren Clink. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you, operator, and good morning, good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to the OceanaGold full year 2016 financial and operating results call and webcast. Thank you very much for joining us today. My name is Darren Clink, Executive Vice President of Corporate Development at OceanaGold. With me here in Vancouver today, Mick Wilkes, President and CEO, and Mark Chamberlain, our Chief Financial Officer. Also in Toronto on the call, Sam Pazuki, our Director of Investor Relations. Before we proceed, note that all references in the presentation that you're about to hear adhere to international financial reporting standards, and all figures are denominated in U.S. dollars unless otherwise stated. Also, note that the presentation contains forward-looking statements, which, by their very nature, are subject to some degree of uncertainty. I now turn the call over to Mick Wilkes to begin the main portion of the presentation.
Thank you, Darren, and good morning and good afternoon or good evening, everybody. And it's a pleasure to present to you on the results of a very successful year in 2016 for the company, what we've titled Consistently Delivering on Commitments. And we achieved, upon referring to page three of the presentation, we achieved record annual revenue of $628 million and record annual profit of $136 million. Production was in line with guidance at 417,000 ounces, as was our all-in sustaining cost at $708 per ounce. And for the fifth consecutive year, we've achieved our guidance. We've produced record earnings and it increased our cash flows. As expected, the commissioning at Haile is going to plan after starting up the mills at the end of last year. And I'm very pleased to announce that we've declared a semi-annual ordinary dividend of 1 cent per share following this period. Moving on to the next page, page four, a year-on-year comparison. Our production is in line with the previous year. Revenue is up 24% on the back of higher gold sales. EBITDA is up 47%. Net profit up 157%. Gold price slightly up and copper price slightly down. When you compare our cost of production over the last 4 years, it's reduced by 18% from $868 per ounce all-in sustaining cost down to $708 per ounce last year. Turning to page five, consistently delivering industry-leading return on invested capital. This is something we've become known for in the investment world. Our ROIC, which is EBIT divided by total equity plus long-term debt, as calculated by Bloomberg, has been positive every year since 2010. The three-year average annual ROIC for the last 3 years has been an industry-leading 13.3%, and this year, 2017, we expect it to go even higher at Barclays' estimate of 18.7%. Our total shareholder return over the last 3 years, again, has been an industry-leading 138%, so very pleased with the performance of the company. Just a quick comment about safety. We did have a year, a tragic fatality in the business, and our safety performance has plateaued. To address this, the company is taking steps from the board down to introduce proactive leadership, forward-looking safety measures. So there are very definite steps being taken to improve our safety record further than it currently is. Moving to page seven, of course, the big news from last year is that we successfully constructed the Haile project and are advancing it into commercial production. HGM0001, the first gold bar, was successfully poured on the 20th of January, and we've since poured a number of others. We've poured about 2,000 ounces to date, and we've produced through the mill and in inventory over 10,000 ounces. The process plant is up and running. Utilisation year to date is 60% and in line with plan. And month to date, the month of February, it's over 80%. We have had a sequential focus on the commissioning, starting with the oxide ore and through to transitional ore, and now we're into the sulphide ore with flotation and fine grinding. We have had a positive reconciliation on the amount of oxide and transitional ore in the from the ore body, which has been a nice surprise for us. Further positive results have been seen from the leaching kinetics on this oxide material and the transition material, leading to lower residency time and expectations of that to continue into the sulphides. On page 9, a picture of the open pit. It's called the Mill Zone Pit, where we are down into ore and we're actually restrained in the development of that pit by the amount of ore in the pit. Steady state mining is being achieved at over 60,000 tonnes per day. These are metric tonnes. And now the pre-strip and the opening up of a second pit at Snake is about to commence. We have had positive reconciliation, more tonnage at slightly better grades. And we are also stockpiling sulphide ore as we speak. Just moving on to the operational performance across the business in 2016, page number 11, and starting with the DPO. Production, as previously disclosed, was in line or slightly better than guidance. Production in the fourth quarter of just over 30,000 ounces of gold, and copper is down at 3,700 tonnes. Again, in line with plan. The mining grades fell in the fourth quarter as expected, as we were mining through the ore body. Sorry, higher grades in the open pit as we were going down into the bottom of the open pit. And importantly, significant lower waste was mined. We now have over 22 million tonnes of stockpiled ore, which has got an average grade of 1.1 grams gold equivalent, which when you calculate it out is over 800,000 ounces of gold equivalent sitting in stockpile for future processing. And this will supplement the mill feed from the underground from 2018 onwards. Processing completed plant upgrades in Q4, which, as you can see from page number 12, resulted in lower throughput in Q4 as previously guided. The mining physicals, the graph in the top left, shows you that the amount of ore mined has increased in the fourth quarter and to 3.3 million tonnes. And the amount of waste has reduced during the quarter to 1.9 million tonnes, down from an average of 5.5 million tonnes of waste per quarter in the first half of the year. All mine grades for copper slightly lower in the second half, and gold was up again as per the forecast on quarter on quarter. So it's been a good result in the Philippines. Didipio continues to perform well. On page 13, the Didipio mine plan, I'm pleased to report that we're now down to the 2670 level. That was at the end of 2016. And we have about another 90 metres to go before we get to the bottom of the upper levels where stoping production can commence. So the plan for underground development is going well. We expect open pit mining to cease in the second half of 2017 and underground development will continue at this stage. slightly higher CapEx on the underground because of increased scope. We've got mining inventory of up to 20 million tonnes in the underground mine plan now. We've also brought forward some expenditures from later out in the mine plan into this year. If you look at the cross-section on page number 13, you see the open pit outline and the position of the pit as of December 2016, denoted by the dotted line. You can see that for this quarter and till the end of the pit life, we're in some very high-grade ore and no waste, or very little waste. This means we're going to see very strong production out of Didipio for the first half of this year. Moving on to page 14 and an update on the current situation in the Philippines. I'm sure you're all excited to hear the latest news. But the audit process update is we did receive the suspension order, which you're aware of, for various alleged breaches, which we flatly refute. We did file an appeal with the Office of the President immediately, which has allowed us to keep operating unaffected. The appeal process, there's a 30-day period up until the 15th of March to submit our argument, and then the DENR has 15 days after that to respond with their argument, and then following that, the Office of the President will consider, and there is no time limit on that consideration. I stress that the audit that was carried out in July and August of 2016 showed no regulatory or legal violations, no environmental breaches of our contract were cited by the DENR audit team. We continue to engage with all parties involved, and I would note recently the MICC, the Mining Industry Consultation Committee, have announced that they will be conducting another audit, an audit conducted by independent experts who will act with objectivity, fact-finding and a science-based review. And they have the government and the president have committed to following proper due process, which we declare has not been followed to date. So feeling very confident that we will continue to operate at the Didipio operation. Moving on to page 15, Didipio 2017, our guidance is unchanged, 110 to 130,000 ounces, copper production 15 to 17,000 tonnes. All in sustaining cost of 130 to 180 is lower than the previous year 2016 because we have less waste mining. The production in the first half, as I said, will be greater than the second half, and the first quarter will be the strongest quarter of the year, with the fourth quarter the weakest quarter of the year. And open pit mining operations, as I mentioned, are in the high-grade material right now. The underground development is ongoing for the time being, but we will monitor the current situation regarding the appeal process. Moving on to Waihee, page number 16, and another solid quarter for Waihee, just under 30,000 ounces. Ore sourced solely from the Carenzo vein, and stoping has commenced in another new vein called the Daybreak vein. Development has commenced in additional veins called Empire and Christina. Processing was higher based on higher feed, and in the key focus for us at Waihee this year and next for that matter is advancing the Martha project and the exploration projects, which I'll talk about in a second. So the physicals for Waihee are pretty much the same as previous quarters, better throughput in the mill based on more ore available, therefore better gold production, and grades continue to be above 7 grams. Operating costs in line with plan or slightly better. In particular, mining costs are coming down. Processing costs are coming down despite a stronger New Zealand dollar. Guidance for 2017 for Waihee on page number 18 110 to 120,000 ounces, slightly higher all-in sustaining costs because we intend to spend another $5 million on exploration at Waihi this year. And steady production throughout the year from first half to second half. I'll now focus on the exploration program and the MARC project on page 19. This new picture is a screenshot of the mine design showing the open pit in brown. It shows the mined out ore bodies from underground in green, the stopes that are planned for mining this year in blue, and this year and next year in blue. And then underneath the pit, you've got the brown colours, which are the old stopes, and the blue or the purple outlines, which is the resources that's been identified last year through our studies as being potential that could be mined from either underground or open pit methods. So we're calling this the Martha Project, the 1 million ounce target of resources that sit beneath the pit. We currently have 5 rigs sitting at surface testing the extensions beneath the pit, and we have 3 rigs currently drilling from underground, extending the existing known veins at Christina, Empire and Correnzo. To further increase the confidence of the resources beneath the Martha pit, we are developing 2 drives, drill drives, on elevations about 100 metres apart, where we will do underground drilling from to drill out this resource over the next 18 months or so. So that's a key focus for us. We believe that some of the resource can be taken from a small cutback on the open pit, affecting only land that we have access to. And there's a possibility of underground, we believe we can do underground mining as well. In addition, there are other surface targets that can be pursued, and we'll report on those through the course of the year. Moving on to Macraes, we've got steady state production there. A good year for Macraes, and a quarter of 42,000 ounces in the quarter four. Less waste mined and more ore available from the Coronation pit. Continued higher recovery, so another good recovery quarter with 86% achieved through the process plant. And we are advancing the Coronation North into the mine plan, so that'll start mining this year and come into production later in the second half of this year. The physicals, as I mentioned, the mining physicals, more ore available, almost 1.8 million tonnes of ore and 8.9 million tonnes of waste. The processing, you see the grade has started to pick up again in the fourth quarter. And operating costs are still good despite the higher exchange rate. And I'd like to, as always, point out the very competitive mining cost there of $1.23 US dollars per tonne, which is lower than 2015. Guidance for Macraes in 2017, as I mentioned, we are getting into the Coronation North deposit, which does have higher grade than current mining areas. The gold production will increase in the second half of the year as Coronation North comes into on stream. And as a result, our production out of Macraes this year and probably next year will be 180 to 190,000 ounces for the year. And consequentially, all-in sustaining costs will also reduce down to $950 to $1,000 per ounce. Moving on to exploration, and we are ramping up our exploration on the back of the recent success of Coronation North, exploring more intensely on the 35 kilometres of strike on a number of targets. We have had some initial success at Nuns and we'll be systematically going through these various targets through the course of this year and next year. Lastly, we are advancing the gold tungsten project for the end of current mine life. That means that when we've exhausted all resources and reserves and exploration within the 35 kilometres as we know it, we then look to move the process plant and unlock about 1.2 million ounces of gold plus some tungsten in a relocated process plant. And that work, those studies, that engineering work will continue throughout this year to fine-tune that project. I now hand over to Mark Chamberlain, our CFO, to talk to you about our financial performance.
Thank you, Mick. Looking at page 25, where we've set out our financial position as at the end of last year. To begin with, we had total liquidity of $96 million, comprised of $69 million of cash and $27 million undrawn under our $300 million facility. That gives us a very comfortable level of liquidity, given we are now at the end of the build of Haile and with the first gold pour and imminent revenues from that project commencing. Looking at the debt level, total debt was $325 million. $273 million of that is the revolving credit facility and $52 million of equipment leases. This too is a reasonably modest gearing of about 18%, which is a quite a modest ratio for a mining company at the end of a development phase. Moving on to page 26, just some details about the dividend. As Mick mentioned, directors have declared a semi-annual dividend of 1 cent per share. That'll be at a cost to us of some $6 million. And we've put in place now, we've developed a facility whereby shareholders can be paid in their currency of choice, provided it's US dollars, Canadian, Australian, New Zealand, or pounds. As you note, we now intend to pay dividends on a semi-annual basis, which is a practice more in line with our North American peers. It's been our stated policy to pay a fixed dividend of 2 cents a share annually, with the directors having a discretion to pay an additional amount. So what we've done here is holding to that policy as a 2 cent fixed annual dividend equates to 1 cent fixed half yearly. The intention is that after the June results, the directors will review the situation and determine the possible payment of the remaining 1 cent of the fixed component, and will, as circumstances allow, will determine whether there's a payment of an additional discretionary dividend. On page 27, we have the financial summary. In the fourth quarter, there was revenues of some $147 million, very similar to the third quarter, which achieved about $150 million in revenue. Overall, for the year, we had record revenues of $628 million. We saw EBITDA in the third quarter at $66.9 million, a 9% improvement on the third quarter. EBITDA for the year, $283 million. A $90 million increase on 2015. So overall, sales, in looking at that revenue, we actually had sales of 105,658 ounces in the fourth quarter compared to 98,195 ounces in the third. But our realised price was some $120 lower at $1,170 compared to the peaking of prices in 2016 of $1,290. Just to note that post the end of 2016, we have seen some of that ground come back on the price of gold. The EBITDA has strengthened on quarter-to-quarter basis by some 45%. That was on the basis of cost of sales dropped some $13 million from $77.5 million to $64.3 million. And that offset the provision for the cost of $8 million awarded against us in the El Salvador arbitration. Net profit for the quarter was $42.6 million, the strongest quarter of the year, giving us a record net profit overall of $136.5 million. On that, there was the high EBITDA paid, some $5 million. We saw a lower depreciation and amortization cost of $3 million, and a gain on the undesignated hedges of some $15 million in the quarter, compared to $8 million in the last quarter. Overall, for the year, there was a $4 million gain on the hedge book for the year. Moving to page 28, those results are now in the table there, tabular form. Just to note a couple of things. Sales, we show there at $437,000 for 2016, compared to $401,000 of 2015, so some 36,000 ounces higher. Copper, as per plan, was lower. We got 21,400 tons compared to 22,800 tons. We saw a higher gold price in all about $89 higher comparing 2015 to 2016. In looking at the income statement there, I just wanna point out that the revenue figure there, in 2015's Waihi's production from June of 2015 is included in the production figure. We have not included in the revenue figure. It only commenced after we had received the formal New Zealand government approval on the first of November. The revenue that we derived or was effectively derived from Waihi for the first 5 months of ownership went against the capital cost of that purchasing Waihi. Moving down the EBITDA, really healthy, almost $90 million on 2015. Depreciation and amortization, just slightly lower. Net interest and finance costs, even though there's a slightly higher level of borrowings due to the Haile project, because of a reduction in margin, we saw there $3 million saved compared to the previous year. Unfortunately, but it's healthy, we are now paying income tax because the tax losses in New Zealand have generally been absorbed. That income tax expense relates primarily to New Zealand and some to the local taxes in the Philippines. All in all, a terrific net profit of $136.5 million, compared to the previous year of $53.1 million. Page 29 sets out cash flows. Just noting the operations cash flow of almost $80 million in the fourth quarter. Looking at taking out working capital movements, it's very similar, $67 million for the fourth quarter compared to $61 million in the third quarter. The investment cash flows, $120.7 million, and in the box to the right at the bottom there, you'll see the breakdown of capital expenditure by operation of $120.7 million spent. $80.5 million went to Haile, as would be expected, and the balance is really in Didipio, with $12 million allocated to the underground and $6 million on other infrastructure projects. Overall then, that appears we've got up the top there, the quarter by quarter capital expenditure breakdown, as you can see, quite consistent over the last three quarters. Moving on then to page 30, and I'll hand back to Mick to sum up.
Yeah. The chart on page 30, looking ahead, it really tells the story for us in 2017 and beyond. We've had an extraordinary period of growth in the company from 300,000 ounces in 2013 to almost 600,000 ounces in 2017. Our cost of production continues to fall from almost $900 per ounce in 2013 down to below $650 per ounce in 2017. The near-term catalyst for us are announcing commercial production and the results of our optimization study later this year. We have significant growth potential in the business to expand the Haile project up to around about 250,000 ounces a year. The Martha project, which I anticipate will extend the mine life at Waihi out to 2030, and extensive exploration at Macraes, as well as the Macraes Gold Tungsten Project, which combined could take production out to 2030 as well. A solid balance sheet, strong margins, and free cash flow generation will allow us to maintain and develop our projects to maintain a 600,000 ounce per annum company in the medium term. So with that, I'll hand back to the operator for questions. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, if you do have a question, please press star followed by 1 on your touch-tone phone. You will hear a 3-tone prompt acknowledging your request. Note that questions will be taken in the order received. And if you do wish to withdraw your request, please press star followed by 2. And note that if you're using a speakerphone, you will need to lift the handset before pressing any key. One moment, please, for your first question. And your first question will be coming from Michael Sofisky at Credit Suisse. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks. Hi, Wilkes. Three questions for me. First of all, the couple of projects in New Zealand, the gold tungsten one, which we've been hearing about for quite some time, and the Waihi opportunity, is there sort of any definitive timeline for when there might be something that we can assess, when you'll have something ready to present to us on either of those? And that certainly the gold tungsten one, I guess we've been thinking was end of year for some time, but when do we actually get something where we can have a look at it?
Yeah, it hasn't. So thanks for the question, Michael. The Gold Tungsten Project has been considered for implementation earlier, but with the success we've had at Coronation North, we've now pushed that out further. So it looks like potential to implement in 2020 or thereabouts. We have been continuing to work on engineering designs to further improve the economics of the project. And importantly, one of the key changes is that we would, the key changes in our thinking is that we would use existing plant and equipment wherever possible to minimise the cost of that new or relocated project process plant. So there's other things happening like reviewing waste dump designs to minimise mining costs, in-pit dumping and removal of tailings, all of which is requiring additional engineering time, and we do have time to do it. So I've withheld releasing any reports at this stage until we get a better handle on what we actually think will happen and the economics of that. With the Martha project in New Zealand at Waihi, we continue to advance the resource drilling there, the exploration drilling. We did have a setback when we had the pit wall failure, which continued to fail throughout 2016 and cut off access to the pit. That's necessitated the requirement to put in those two drill drives to allow us to drill out the ore underneath the pit, and so we've just delayed the resource determination on that because of that access. Notwithstanding that, we've had good success with extending and replacing our reserves at Waihi and around the existing loads. So I am anticipating that in the latter half of this year, we will commence a permitting process for that Martha project. And that would take, I'm not sure, in the order of 1 to 2 years. But when that permitting process starts, the first thing we do is we talk to the community and then we release the results of the studies.
Great. Yep, that makes sense. Thank you. Secondly, your comments about Hail with respect to the leaching kinetics, lower residence time than what was anticipated with the oxides, and anticipating a similar result for the sulfides. What's the implication of that? Will you take that as a benefit in terms of recovery, or does that sort of remove one of the bottlenecks in the plant that maybe allows you to push through more tonnes at a higher rate than perhaps what you've guided to date?
No, it's simply a statement to reflect our confidence in recovery. It means that the ore is not that refractory, The gold is leaching out quite quickly, and that's all does well for the kinetics when we get into the sulfide stuff, which just requires a finer grind. So it's a recovery statement about recovery.
Okay, thank you. And then finally, with respect to the Philippines, I guess, you know, you're an engineer used to making rational decisions on data. So when you've got a situation like the Philippines where you can't make a rational decision, well, sorry, you can, but they can't, how do you put that in terms of your planning more broadly for the group? If you can't definitively say that cash flow will continue from the Philippines, yet you've got capital requirements and opportunities elsewhere in the business, how do you run the business over the next next period to ensure that, you know, you don't get into a liquidity challenge?
Well, thanks for that question, Michael. What we can do is we run the business based on facts and what we know. And what we do know is that we have not breached any regulation, we've not breached any laws, we've not violated any terms of our contract whatsoever. And we will now follow the legal process and monitor that situation closely. In the situation in the Philippines, there's daily reports coming out. Some of them are quite entertaining, but we are comforted. I'm comforted by the fact that the MICC, under the stewardship of the Secretary of Finance and other senior cabinet members, are wresting control of this situation and have recently announced their own independent audit, in which the true facts will be revealed. So it's business as usual in the Philippines, batten down the hatches in terms of the situation, but keep the business running as it always has, and we will weather the storm in relation to going through the proper due processes.
Yeah. Okay, thanks, Elsie.
Thank you. Next question will be from Rich Spencer at Canaccord. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Good morning, guys. Congratulations on a very, very good 2016. A couple of questions for me. First one is recoveries at Macraes. I note that you guided the future expectation for recoveries to be between 80 and 83%. Can you just give me an indication of why that might be the case? We've noted that the last 9 months or so, you've seen recoveries up around the 86%, especially given that you could be seeing higher grades from Coronation North. Can you just give me a feel for what's happening with recoveries at Macraes over the next little while?
Yeah, thanks, Reg. I sort of asked the same question myself of the metallurgists at Macraes, but I think there's an element of conservatism there because Coronation North is another ore body. I mean, it's the same structure, it's the same mineralisation, but as yet we're untested. We are maintaining that sort of 80 to 83% recovery rate. The reason that we have seen improved recoveries, the main reason, there's a few of them, but the main reason is since we turned off the treatment of reefton concentrates, which was finished around the second quarter of last year, we've had more oxidation capacity available from the autoclave, in which times we've had more oxidation of the Macraes concentrate, which has led to a better recovery in the circuit. Now, our METs aren't forecasting that's going to continue with the Coronation North feed as yet, but don't be surprised if it does.
All right, so maybe somewhere in between your guided 80 to 83 and the 86 that you've been achieving is probably what we should be thinking about going forward. That's great. And lastly, just at Didipio, can you quantify for me the potential reduction in annual sustaining capex from the accelerated capital program that you're going through there in 2017?
Are you talking about the underground project?
Yeah, sorry, the underground. Apologies, yep.
We brought forward some of the surface infrastructure, so it wasn't necessarily sustaining capital on an annual basis.
Sorry, I was just referring to your guidance, Mick, on when it came out a few weeks back, and you mentioned that the budget for the project had gone up by about $15-16 million, and it was likely to lead to lower underground sustaining capital going forward.
Yeah. No, it didn't lead to that. What it said was that with the improvement in the design, so we have had an increase in the scope of the project. So the ore body, we're going down deeper, which has increased the capital cost. But what that statement was saying was that increase in cost is offset by an improvement in the mine design, whereby we don't have to have 15 metre level stopes anymore. We're going to 30 metre stopes throughout the ore body. So 15 metre stopes were planned in the higher grade, lower strength rock. And now through the geotech process, we've determined that all of the stopes will be the same height, which reduces your development cost and your sustaining cost. So the higher capital cost is offset by a lower sustaining cost later on.
Understand. That's great. Thanks very much, guys.
Thank you. Great. Next question will be from Gordy Mark at Haywood Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good afternoon, guys. Another good year. Maybe we'll follow suit on from Reg, just onto Didipio there. Given the change of scope and going to 30 metre stopes, any changes in unit costs expected going forward versus the study for underground mining, I guess, 2018 onwards? And also in the guidance for this year for Didipio, you've got your asymmetry in production. Is that for both copper and gold? Are you looking for copper and gold to go together in the first half and the second half?
To be honest, I don't have the figures at hand, but it's safe to assume that, Geordie, that copper will also be half, stronger in the first half than the second half. In relation to the mining cost per tonne, it will reduce by about about $3 with the new mine design. It's in that order.
Okay, great. And for the guidance this year in the DPO, the level of throughput that you're looking at for the year?
3.5.
Okay, same as this year. Great, I'll leave it there and come back. Thanks.
Thanks, Jordy.
Thank you. Next question is from Chris Thompson at Raymond James. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, guys. Thanks for taking my question. Congratulations on a very solid quarter. Apologies if I missed it, but could you detail how much capex you spent to date on Haile and how much remains?
Yeah, we spent $380 million on the project, and that was to complete construction. We are going through working capital at the moment, and there is credits as well with gold production. So once we've finished the announced commercial production, we'll have the final capital number. I'm expecting a 5-10% increase in capital cost over the 380.
Great, thanks, Mick. And then just finally, have you got a sense of when we can see some revised reserves resources for all projects?
We'll have a statement out in the next couple of weeks on the 2016 reserve resource statement, and then there'll be a follow-up statement on Haile alone in later in the year when we release the optimisation study.
Okay, great. Okay, guys. Thanks a lot. Congrats.
Thank you, Chris.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, as a reminder, if you do have any questions, please press star followed by 1 on your telephone keypad. Next question will be from Sophie Spartalis at Merrill Lynch. Please go ahead.
Good morning, Mick. Just following on from some of those questions at the DPO, given that the changes that you ran through with regards to those heights, the gold production going into 2018 and beyond, given that we're ceasing open pit production this year, is it safe to assume that we're probably at the lower end of that 2007 guidance band going forward when it's just the underground?
Probably for next year, that's a fair assumption, but as the underground ramps up to full production in 2020, you'll see some very strong production coming out. And, you know, the 1.6 million tonne per annum of high grade supplemented by stockpiles of 1.1 grams gold equivalent, I should say, will still give us a very strong production, in the order of 120,000 ounces a year.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Plus copper. Yeah.
Yep.
Thank you. At this time, we have no further questions. I would like to turn the call over to Mr. Klink. Please go ahead.
Thank you very much, operator. That concludes the presentation for today. So on behalf of the team at OceanaGold, we'd like to thank you for your interest and participation and support over the last 12 months. And should you have any further questions, of course, please don't hesitate to contact us directly. Thank you again.
Thank you, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, this does conclude today's webcast and conference call. Thank you for participating. And at this time, we do ask that you please disconnect your lines. Enjoy the rest of your day.